Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hi, welcome to Travel Advice. Today is April 16th, and today we are talking about Russia and the CIS countries and all about Central Asia. And I'm Chris Newton, the co-host, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic. How are you, Chris?
Oh, very good. Thank you. Yeah, and we want to remind everybody that this show is live right now, and you can call in at 646-915-9715, and that's a U.S. area code, so we're in the U.S. And so we have a new website that just came out, www.traveladviceshow.com. So take a look at all our archive shows. Jerry, today we have a great guest. Would you like to introduce our guest, Jerry?
Yes, I would. I've known Doug Grimes, who is president and founder of Mir Corporation, for probably 20 years. And in fact, he books my trips to the CIS countries and that part of the world. And he specializes in so many fabulous, unique things. They do the normal things like Moscow and St. Petersburg, but they can turn that trip into something else. Welcome, Doug. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
Welcome, Doug. Yeah, welcome.
But I'd like to ask, Doug, if you were going to go, I know you've been 1,000 times, if you were going to go to Russia and you wanted to experience it for kind of a good time, when would you go to Russia and how long would you stay, your first trip?
Well, I haven't been to Russia 1,000 times, but almost 100.
Okay.
100 visits in 20 years.
Wow.
And I've seen a lot of the country, and Russia is so big that it's really hard to do in one trip. We usually kind of look at, you know, Western Russia, and then we look at Siberia and the Far East as a separate.
Okay.
Most people don't know, but it's 11 time zones all the way across Russia. So it's more than twice the size of the U.S.
It's hard to believe it until you start flying it. Or you take the Trans-Siberian across, and then you realize this is a big place.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to ask, you would go, how long? You'd do Moscow and
I would,
the first trip?
I would say that any trip to Russia should be 2 weeks.
Okay.
I would try to give 2 weeks as a minimum because
All right.
There's so much to do and see. And I might do a first trip for people is, you know, Western Russia is always a good choice. You know, you have the big cities, Moscow, St. Petersburg, they call it the window to the west,
mm-hmm.
and it has, you know, fantastic museums like the Hermitage and all the palaces, Catherine's Palace and Peter's Palace. And so there's a lot to see and do. And I would also include a few days in the what we call the Golden Ring, which is outside of Moscow. It's the ancient Golden Ring cities. And that would be about a two-week trip. And then if somebody wants to go and do something a little more exotic and get a little bit more into the soul of Russia, they would go to the Far East or Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the biggest draw there is Lake Baikal, which is the deepest lake in the world. And most people don't know, but it holds 20% of the world's fresh water.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's over a mile deep. And they have a unique species there, like freshwater seals, and you know, the landscape around is more conducive to like hiking and outdoor activities and boating and that kind of thing.
Well, let me ask you, when would you go your first time to any part of Russia?
Well, I think that the starting in the spring, you know, in May, and of course the summer is good all the way through the end of September. End of May and the first part of June in St. Petersburg is what they call the white nights.
Mm.
It doesn't get dark until 2 or 3 in the morning.
Mm.
So there's like a lot of extra sort of activities going on in the evenings. People go walking at midnight, and, you know, it's a very interesting phenomena. And so that's a nice time to go, you know.
Mm. Right. Now, let me ask, a lot of people, I know we've had questions on this, a lot of people are scared to fly within Russia because Aeroflot has had an interesting history in the past. Do you recommend flying between or a train, or what do you recommend?
Well, I think that those days of the sort of most fearful time of flying in Russia are past.
Good.
You know, they have upgraded their requirements for the different carriers. There's not just Aeroflot anymore. There's like some 65 different airlines in Russia.
Wow.
Wow, 65, really?
Yeah, and so there are maybe more now. There could be more than 100. And so as we're experts in this region, we do try to select certain airlines that we know we think are better.
Okay.
And some of them do have, Western aircraft, like what we call like Boeings or mm-hmm. Airbus and
not the Aleutian.
Yeah. And Tupolevs and Aleutians too. but in general, we do try not to do a lot of flights internally.
Okay.
I mean,
is there a reason why?
I think that seeing the country, you want to drive some places. You want to take the train. You want to be able to see things during the day, and the train is a nice experience anyway. If you do it right, and
I know doing it right is definitely doing it right in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, we have different. We have a lot of different Trans-Siberian trips that we offer on our website, mm-hmm. which people can look at. It's mircorp.com, mircorp.com, and we have like a area Trans-Siberian Railway, and we do programs that use the regular train service, and you take a train from one city to another, and then you spend several days getting to know that city, and then you move on to the next one and that kind of thing.
Oh, so you make like a 2-week trip across?
Yeah, yeah. And you go from Moscow, you can go all the way across Russia, Siberia, down through Mongolia, and end in Beijing in China.
Oh. And, I know I've been on the Trans-Siberian 5 different times, and all the way from Moscow to Vladivostok or the opposite direction.
Right.
And I even did it one time in February just for the Dr. Zhivago type of feel.
Oh, yeah.
And but I don't recommend February myself. But but anyway, I really love the Trans-Siberian. And my personal opinion is that I like to go from Moscow to Vladivostok rather than the other way, mainly because it's much shorter in time.
Well, there's because of the time difference, there's a, I think it's nine-hour time difference.
I know. But, I mean, it actually is a shorter trip by a few hours.
Yeah, yeah.
From Moscow east rather than going west. And do you want to explain a little bit, because I know we have young people, students who listen to this. Do you want to explain the differences between the public train and then also on the private train that you have
sure.
and the different classes of service,
sure.
like the hard, soft class, et cetera?
Yes, well, in Russia they have virtually the two classes that most people would be, booking would be what they call second class, which is a four-person compartment. It's got two lower twin beds and two upper twin beds.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little table by the window that people can kind of sit at during the day. And the car or the carriage has 9 of those compartments in it. Mm-hmm. And then there's two bathrooms, one at each end of the car.
Okay.
And the bathroom has a sink and toilet, and
mm-hmm.
it's pretty basic. And then they have what they call first class, which is the cabin size is really the same, but there's not the two upper bunks. So there's only two people in a compartment, and there's a little bit more space to work with. Either way, they do have quite a lot of storage space for your baggage and that, like underneath the beds, and then there's a compartment up above the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for your meals, you walk to a separate car, to a dining car, and that's where you would have your meals.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference in price. The first class is quite almost double or mm-hmm. more than double sometimes than the second class. There are some other lesser classes, but we don't recommend those at all. They call them like
that. Well, that's just what I was going to ask about, because I know with our company Travel Advice, we have people calling or emailing quite often about, we have read about the third or fourth class and that, And are non-Russian citizens allowed to take those?
You can. The third class is kind of like you were saying, Platt's car. It's open. So, I mean, there's no walls in between the rooms or anything. There's just like these kind of bunk things like going all through the whole car.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're just out there in the open, and so is your stuff and everything. So
mm-hmm.
for budget travelers, we usually recommend starting with the second class.
I know. And the interesting thing about it is if you're in first or second class, you can go back there and visit.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
If you're on like a week trip Trans-Siberian, I mean, you know everybody intimately on that train. And I mean, in the Russian class, as I call it, the third class, they're in their underwear and their T-shirts and sitting on the floor and
yep.
Everybody's sharing their food. I mean, it's absolutely fabulous, actually.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's torturous to stay back there, but it's wonderful to go back and spend a few hours every day. And
you have that same kind of camaraderie on the second class too. I mean, people
right.
ride the train. Mm-hmm. They bring out their bag of kind of goodies and share it with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a common experience. Usually there might be some vodka. You know.
I know. I know. I mean, as I mentioned, everybody knows each other intimately, and all these. The first class is generally not as social or friendly, I found, in the times that I've gone across on it. They're nice and they're friendly, but they're not quite as social.
Yeah.
They seem to stay in their room more, but it's still very nice. And I love the service there because there's not so many people. But I wanted to ask a question. I think one of the biggest surprising things that I've discovered going through Siberia is the impression that most people have of Siberia is it's just a godforsaken nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to tell us what Siberia is really like?
Yes. Well, first of all, yeah, most people say, you know, they think it's just snow and ice.
I know.
They have their springs and summer. Their summers aren't long, but they're, you know, at least 3 months. And, you know, they can get up to, you know, 80, 90 degrees weather in those months. So you have nice weather. It's usually very green because, of course, they've had the snow melts and everything over the winter. And one of the things that's very surprising to people is a lot of the Siberian houses are painted very colorful.
Mm-hmm.
They have these decorative wooden shutters with multicolors. So, you know, it's not what people expect. It's very bright and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are extremely friendly and eager to meet visitors, and you know, it's not uncommon to get invited into somebody's, you know, home and have a look around. And
yeah, I'm just stunned at the hills and the pine trees and the beautiful different kinds of trees. It reminds me an awful lot like Western Montana in many
yes.
places.
Yeah, yeah, and then of course they have birch forests.
It's a spectacular place, isn't it?
Yes. Well, and there's a lot of lakes. well, one of the other ways you can do the Trans-Siberian is we do have a private train.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
offer.
Glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
People need to know about this one.
Yeah. So we, together with another company, we charter the entire train, and we have these special outfitted cars, which are in, we call them silver and gold class, and they all have private bathrooms in the room. And they're very modern, they're individually air conditioned, and they have a flat screen DVD player in the rooms. And
wow.
The train can hold up to about 90, 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two big dining cars and a special restaurant car, and it's basically a series of either groups or individual people coming together and taking the train on this more sort of luxurious journey. And it's 2 weeks long, and you're kind of, it's like a hotel on wheels, or it's almost like a land cruise. You unpack your bag in your room, you know, and you're riding the train all the way across, but you're stopping in different cities for a whole day and touring, and then you come back to the same train and get on and continue.
Well, I think people should understand that if you take the normal or the real famous Trans-Siberian, it's a week with no shower.
Right, and right. It just goes for 7 days without the stops are very short, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, 15 minutes at a city. It's not enough time except to go out and maybe buy some, you know, small snacks and things from the people who sell stuff, you know.
And they stop all night long, too. They stop whenever they stop. It could be 3 in the morning or 5 in the morning or 7 at night.
Yeah. And but, so the private train goes, you know, usually you're traveling overnight in the train, and then you come to a city in the morning, and then you get off and tour for the whole day. We'll have a lunch in the city. Hmm. And so it's a totally different trip than the taking the regular train, and more luxurious.
Yes, and in many cases, it's worth it. I think everyone, sometime or other, particularly if they have a sense of adventure, should take like the first or second class on the normal one, but the second or third trip should be on the private, I think. Let me mention a couple of things, because your company does a phenomenal trip to China. You do FITs, and that's how I like to use you, is an FIT, which we've talked about in other shows, on doing your own thing. And you do a magnificent variety of things in China, and I think people should call you for your China. Do you like getting your China business?
Yes, yes. We can arrange private trips. We call them custom private journeys. And, you know, it could be even one person, but usually, you know, it's a couple or something. And we'll design a program with multiple cities and traveling around. Can go to the Western China, into some exotic places like Kashgar, which has the famous Sunday market, one of the largest open markets in Central Asia still today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can go to Urumqi in the far west there and see the mummies, one of the old mummies in the museum there. And you can go to Xi'an and see the terracotta soldiers, or take a Three Gorges cruise on the Yangtze. And you can do this all on your own date schedule and whenever you'd like, and we can do it on a private basis. We also offer that same custom private journey service for all of our destinations that we specialize in, which is the Russia, Mongolia, China, Central Asia, we call them the five stands, the three Caucasus countries, which are in between the Black Sea and the Caspian, Ukraine, the Baltics, and then the kind of Central European corridor, which is Poland, Czech, Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria. And don't forget Moldova.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah.
The one thing that you have, I know, what, about 6 years ago, I called you and I went into Iran. And you did. Are you getting anybody going to Iran now?
We actually do have some people. Actually, right at this moment, we have a group of about 14 in Iran traveling all over the country. It's a 17-day trip.
Wow.
And they're having a great time. And we also have a group of New Zealanders from New Zealand over there at the same time. So.
I know. Most people think because of the political situation that it's extremely dangerous and not even worth going to, but you know, it's not as bad as they say, really, in almost every case. Isn't that right?
Yes. Well, you know, we have our political differences, but people are people, and, you know, the people on the ground are very friendly, and, you know, Iranian people, a lot of them have relatives in the United States. There's a big Iranian community in Los Angeles area and other parts of the country, and so they tend to be very friendly and inviting, let's say.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
And that's been my personal experience, too, when I've traveled there. So.
Yeah, I've been to Iran 5 times now, and I absolutely love it. Let's spend some time on the Sun countries, because most Americans know, most people in the world, actually, unless they live in Central Asia area, don't know anything about them. Which, if you had to put an order to put them in, like go to this one first, second or third, or should you do all 5 of them, or just only 2 of them, what would you recommend for the first-time visitor to that part of the world?
Well, for the first-time visitor, and if they don't have as much time, I would concentrate on Uzbekistan.
Yes.
Uzbekistan has the famous Silk Road cities, you know, two of them, which most people have heard something about, Samarkand and Bukhara. Mm-hmm. And they are just wonderful little gems. It's kind of one of those places that you go to and you feel like you're sort of stepping back in time. And they still have a lot of the old mud brick buildings, mm-hmm. The architecture, the bit of beautiful blue mosques, and the minarets, the tall minarets, which are the sort of lighthouses of the desert. And they really do deliver, and people love them. So if you're going to do a first-time trip, I would concentrate on Uzbekistan. Start in Tashkent. Mm-hmm. Tashkent's the capital, and then include Samarkand, Bukhara, and maybe even Kiva.
Mm-hmm.
And just do those in one trip. And you could do that in 10 or 12 days, let's say.
Mm-hmm. And not be rushed. And you could even go by land.
Yeah, you would be driving between the cities, and you get to see some of the countryside and some of the other little towns along the way. And that is following one of the famous Silk Road routes, too, so that many explorers took and everything. So you have all that history as well.
Now, if you were going to go to another one, what would be the second sun country that you would recommend seeing?
Well, I really like Turkmenistan.
Ah.
Turkmenistan is kind of one of those sort of bizarre, a little bit bizarre places. I guess that's why I like it so much. It's there was some news about this not very long ago, just a few months ago, and their president, who had named himself President for Life, died. Yes, and so they had a kind of hurry up and rush and get somebody else into power,
mm-hmm.
and so far he's been kind of towing the same line. But it's an old city. It's made up of Turkmen tribes, I mean the whole country, and so there's a lot of sort of the old traditional costumes that people wear, and it's a rug-making, you know, people spend 6 months, you know, hand-making a rug, and then they go trade it with people. And but then you've got this very contrasting capital city, which the last president had built up, mm-hmm. with all these new modern buildings and statues and gold, mm-hmm. of gold of himself, and, you know, and big pictures of him on every billboard. And so it was a really, it's a very interesting dichotomy going on there, and I really liked visiting there. And the capital city is Ashgabat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably include Ashgabat and maybe Merv, which is an ancient city.
And to go out to see Marie and that area. I mean, one thing that I found interesting in Turkmenistan is the some of the famous architectural designs in their buildings, in the old buildings.
Right.
Like how they made the domes, and how they made the from the room, and as you go up the wall, and how the ceiling got smaller, and how they mixed a combination of straight lines to make the rounds.
Right.
And I mean, it's a phenomenal place to visit. I agree with you. Turkmenistan is a wonderful, wonderful country.
Yeah. I would say, you know, we have a great trip. It's called Journey Through Central Asia, The Five Stands. And so if you want to encapsulate the whole Central Asia, that is the trip to do. It starts in Kazakhstan, in the capital, former capital city of Almaty,
mm-hmm.
which is at the base of the mountains there. It's a nice city, very well laid out.
And a wonderful museum.
And they have great museums there, two good, really good museums.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go to Bishkek, which is the capital of Kyrgyzstan.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even with a visit to Lake Issyk-Kul.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the high mountain lake up in the... Kyrgyzstan is mostly mountains. It's like 92% mountains.
Well, one thing that I think is interesting about Bishkek, there's an American university in Bishkek where American students go there, and it's an American school. You get American credit. They speak English and everything. It's really American.
Yeah.
Which I think is bizarre.
That is a little bit bizarre.
I know. It's located about 6 blocks from the main headquarters of that museum and the beautiful area there. But it's, Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Rest of the trip?
Well, and then it goes into Uzbekistan and follows Actually, it goes to the Fergana Valley, which is a different part of Uzbekistan. It's where a lot of the arts and crafts come from. Silk weaving is done there, ceramic, hand-painted ceramics and plates and things. So then we spend a few days there. Then we go to the Tashkent, Samarkand, and Bukhara and Kiva, and we end in Ashgabad. And when we're in Samarkand, we take a full-day trip into Tajikistan.
Sure.
And so it covers the five countries, and it's a 21-day trip.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great trip. And matter of fact, it's one of our best sellers this year. We had to add two departures because the first three sold out before January 1st.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just, you know, there's been a comeback, and I think there's been some pent-up demand for that area because after 9/11, almost nobody was traveling there. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's really made a revival. So.
And that's fantastic. It's one of my favorite parts of the world. Now, we only have a few minutes left, but Doug, would you talk about Georgia and those three countries down there?
Yes, yeah, the Transcaucasus, we call them, is mm-hmm. Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Armenia. And we have several different programs. You can see them on our website. I love Georgia. Georgia is one of my favorite countries. It's the former wine-growing region of the whole Soviet Union. So you can imagine what the landscape is like. And they have some great archaeological sites. They have a wonderful food and wine tradition, something called like the Georgian table.
Mm-hmm.
And I really highly recommend it. The capital is Tbilisi, is one of those cities that you can, you know, spend a week and just enjoy
yep.
yourself walking around. There's great museums. And we have very good connections in Georgia. The guy who is one of my longtime partners is the former minister of tourism, even.
Really?
And,
great.
Yeah, yeah. So we can do all kinds of special things there
wow.
if you're
mm-hmm.
interested. And most people don't realize this, but Georgia and Armenia are two of the oldest Christian nations in the world.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. And
and their painted churches are
yeah,
fabulous.
There's wonderful monasteries, and they have even like hill monasteries or cave monasteries, some of the old mm-hmm. ones you can go and visit, hiking, great hiking. There's really good skiing in Georgia, too, in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend it. We have a trip we do called the Treasures of the Transcaucasus, and it starts in Baku, which is the capital of Azerbaijan, and then it goes through Georgia and ends in Armenia.
Hmm.
And it's a two-week trip, and it's a fantastic program. The Caucasus, too, most people don't know this, but now Georgia is visa-free for American passport holders.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so you don't need a visa. And also Ukraine, and also Moldova is a recent. So no visas are now needed for any of those countries.
That saves some time, doesn't it? And money.
Yes. I think it's a positive thing. And Mongolia is also visa-free for Americans, too.
Oh, we didn't talk about Mongolia at all, did we?
No.
Oh, we have about a minute and a half.
Well, Mongolia is really also a fantastic country. If you like the outdoors, incredible skies at night, you can see all the stars. There's almost no pollution in Mongolia at all. I always tell people kind of it's a big country with only a little over 3 million people and something like 30 million livestock.
Mm.
So,
and
outside of the capital, Ulaanbaatar, the places you stay around in the country, you stay in gurs, or, you know, some people call them yurts, but the mm-hmm. Mongolian word is gur. It's a felt tent. Very nice inside, though, with wooden furniture and, you know, beds, and they have a little wood stove mm-hmm. in the middle. And
require that men stay in one and women in another?
Men and women separately?
Uh-huh.
No, you can you can stay with your spouse. And all the beds are twin beds, though, so.
Okay.
You have to be ready for that.
I know. Yeah, Mongolia is in my top five most favorite countries on earth.
Yeah. Good horseback riding there. You can see mm-hmm. camels. You can go to the South Gobi Desert. They have the big, huge dune there that people imagine. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing what you can do. Well, Doug, I think we're out of time.
Oh, jeez. It seems so short.
I know. We'll have to have you back if you'd like to come back.
I would love to. I would love to.
Yeah, because everybody, it's MIR, M-I-R Corporation, and as Doug said, it's MIRCOR.com.
Yeah.
And
we also have an 800 number. If you're interested, you can call our 800 number. It's 800-424-7289, and we'd be happy to talk to you about any of our destinations.
Fantastic. Yeah. All righty. So next week, what are we going to talk about?
Okay, next week, April 23rd, we have Central America is our theme, and we'll talk about the various countries in Central America. And then April 30th, we're talking about budget travel, you know, just budgeting around. And then May 7th, we talk about New Zealand. Hey, Doug, I really appreciate it, Doug, being on the show. And it was a pleasure hearing some great trips, and I'm really excited. I want to make a trip soon.
I've been to China.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. Thanks a lot. Your trip sounds amazing. You know. So, yeah.
Well, it's a little known part of the world, and we just happen to know it very well. So.
Know it. You're the best in the whole business.
That's great.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay. Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Take care. See you, Jerry. Okay. Bye bye. Hi, Jerry. Oh, it was amazing. Oh, my God. It was like the best information. You know, he covered like every country, too. Yeah, that was great. That was an excellent show. I didn't want to see it because it was like so good information. You know, like I was just letting him roll, you know. Yeah, that was great. That was really good. Yeah, great. I just wanted to hear, how did that, I'm sorry I had to leave a little early on Saturday. I went home and did 2 hours straight work, so she was really happy about that before the dinner. The whole house. And yeah, I had to set up, yeah. But yeah, it all worked out. I didn't know what to expect when I came home. I was like, oh no, it could be a bad night, you know. But Linda came by and we had a great dinner. And so it worked out good. Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure. Really good meeting, you know, Dave and his wife Heidi. I think that, yeah, that was great to meet them. And did they really? Yeah, you had to get going. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, she did. Yeah, she really went into that. Oh, right, yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. Well, sounds good. Hey, Jerry, I got to run the class right now. Can I call you tomorrow then? Do you think you'll be free tomorrow? Okay, great. And we'll go over a couple things. That'll be great. And if you talk to Doug, but maybe I'll try to get his number too, and I'll try to call him back. And yeah, he was great. He was great. Okay, Jerry. Okay. All right. Enjoy the show. Okay. Bye-bye.